2 Corinthians 13 this evening. 2 Corinthians 13. And it's been a few weeks since we've been in this passage, delivering this thought to you. And so we lay, just relay a little bit of groundwork. And we'll bring this thought and this text to a close to you tonight. Preaching on the communion of the Holy Ghost. The communion of the Holy Ghost. What is your relationship to the Holy Spirit look like tonight? Amen. Do you have one? Do you have one? And is it well between you and the Holy Ghost? And that is the emphasis. We've been enlarging upon that thought using 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. And if you'll stand with me, we'll read these last three or four verses together. And you'll see the thought even in the text this evening as we read. And we'll give you an illustration, and we want you to have your Bibles handy this evening. We'll be turning, looking at several other texts of Scripture to close this thought tonight. Verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you." And here Paul says in verse 14, the closing verse of this epistle, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we do ask mercies, Lord, tonight from your hand upon the remainder of this service tonight. Lord, as we stand and deliver these truths that you've laid on our hearts some weeks ago. And Lord, you've just let us get settled in every time we preach this in a vein of truth. And Lord, to lay out and drive home some things, Lord, for our own life. Lord, for our church and these that are gathered, Lord, in each of these services. I pray tonight you'd do it again. Lord, take us beyond ourselves, and Lord, teach us things that, Lord, we need to know. Lord, grow us tonight in our relationship and fellowship, Lord, to the Spirit of the Lord tonight. And we'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, draw some sinner this evening, Lord, by conviction, and Lord, by the Spirit of God, may, Lord, they receive a opening of their eyes, a removing of the blinders, lest the God of this world should blind them further from seeing the light of the glorious gospel that's in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for their salvation tonight, be it in this place, be it, Lord, somewhere by a radio, in a car. Lord, maybe somebody watching, Lord, on their computer or phone this evening. Lord, I pray that the gospel and the Spirit of the Lord would work in their lives tonight. Lord, for any sinner that's saved, we'll thank you and bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This being Paul's second letter and epistle to the church at Corinth, we understand that Paul had a lot of things to say to this church. A lot of hard things, a lot of things it needed straightened out, a lot of issues it needed addressed. And Paul, being the man of God that he was, having a love for them that he had, laid those things out, giving them an opportunity to repent and turn back to Christ and be what they needed to be. Paul, in these closing verses, I believe, lays hold upon a truth that he is not just filling up the last little bit of the last page, but understands they're going to need. And as he closes this, we would call it a benediction. He says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." Part of what we have been emphasizing is, of all the things that Paul said they need to address, of all the things that Paul says they need to correct, of all the issues that, my friend, they need to sit down and confront in their own personal lives and ministry, Paul closes by saying, "Do not forget the communion of the Holy Ghost." If you're going to get right in these areas, you're going to have the communion of the Holy Ghost. In fact, in the previous chapter, chapter 12, we've been preaching from another thought much as well lately. Paul had a fear that after all that he had written to them about and everything that he had addressed, he said that I'm afraid that that after writing all this, when I make my way to you again, that I'm going to stumble into a church that has yet to address these things, and that I'm going to find debates and envy and strife and wrath and backbitings and whisperings and swellings and tumults. And Paul is saying that there is a part of him that is concerned that they will never address the things that need to be addressed. When it comes to the closing verse, I think Paul is saying, hey man, I may have fear in myself knowing you and knowing who you are, but if you'll ever find the communion of the Holy Ghost and your relationship to Him be what it ought to be, then I'll have no fear. You will straighten these things out. Amen. It's as if Paul is saying the reason you got in the shape you're in, you ain't had no communion with the Holy Ghost. And if you're ever going to straighten it out and be what you ought to be, it'll take the communion of the Holy Ghost. How important this teaching is, this practical application is to our own spiritual lives all these years later, that we would know something about the communion of the Holy Ghost, not just know and be able to recite the doctrinal codes and principles and theological truths that would envelop who the Spirit of the Lord is tonight, not be able to recite creeds and dogmas that have been passed down in truth to you and I, but to really engage our personal lives into that is known by the Apostle Paul here as the communion of the Holy Ghost. Communion, we've been defining this, and we've said communion literally means partnership or to have participation with. The word communion envelops the idea of a sharer and an associate. It carries the idea of being in such union with the Holy Spirit that you are on common terms with Him. That He's not strange. You're not strangers one to another. But such union has been produced between you and Him that you're on common ground and common terms with Him. Now I believe there's something lacking in our day in many realms of religion. And it seems like the people in our vein of religion, amen, we'll call it our crowd of independent fundamental Baptists, have avoided that of the doctrines and the practical, amen, fellowship of that of the Holy Ghost. Amen, one preacher said that he was in a Q&A session in an independent Baptist church, and they began to talk about the Holy Spirit. And one of the deacons in that church spoke up and said, well, I thought we, the Baptists, had the Father and the Son, and the Charismatics had the Holy Ghost. And can I say that that's a lot of the mentality that, amen, has crept in even to some of our churches in these days. Amen, the communion of the Holy Ghost, having a relationship with Him, amen, is pertinent to our Christian journey. Webster's defined communion as simply that of fellowship. Amen, fellowship. He defined it as being in agreement with, and communion, he said, is union in worship, doctrine, and discipline. And so when we speak in the communion of the Holy Ghost, we have in mind that, my friend, we are walking in step with Him. And our lives are being lived not in agreement with this world, not being lived in the agreement of carnality and worldly ambition, not in agreement with Hollywood, but, my friend, being lived in agreement with, amen, the person of the Godhead called the Holy Ghost. Amen, agreement, being in union with Him in our worship, in our doctrine, that we believe, and in our daily disciplines from day to day in our life. Communion. Do you have communion with the Holy Ghost? I come across this illustration, or story, I guess I want to use as an illustration tonight, of a man by the name of Dr. Walter Wilson. And Dr. Walter Wilson, he was saved as a teenage boy all the way back on December 21st, 1896. He's just 15 years old and they are converted to Christ. Within a year, by the time he turned 16, he began He began feeling compelled to stand and preach the gospel and evangelistic campaigns and Jeremy Street preaching and trying to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that a noble thing? At 16 years old, a child of God, a convert, a disciple of the Lord, a man wanting to stand on the street and preach. He went through those teen years doing that. And as he grew older, enrolled into medical school 9 years in the age of 25, he had completed his medical training and was a practicing doctor in Webb City, Missouri. And as he became a medical doctor, he realized, amen, that his medical profession and his Christianity, that they could be used together, understanding that people needed more than the healing of their body, that they needed a healing brought to their soul. And he had spent these 9 years preaching and trying to get people saved. He's now a medical doctor and began to engage his clients or his patients in witnessing to them. And the story is he recollected it in those early adult years of his life. He began to realize that something was lacking in his witness. He's saved. He's trying to be a help to people. He's giving the gospel. And he's doing great things. He realized something was lacking in his witness. And even in himself, he realized that there was no victory over certain sins that he had been struggling and battling with. And one day he confided in a missionary that had passed by, and the missionary asked him a simple question pertinent to our study tonight. That missionary, looking at this young man, said and asked him, "What is the Holy Spirit to you?" Ain't that a good question tonight? What is the Holy Spirit to you? Al Walter Wilson in those young days, in his young Christian faith, replied simply and very promptly saying, "He is one of the persons of the Godhead." And what he did in replying that way was giving a theological answer. He is simply, my friend, reciting and parroting, amen, a theological stand that we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This missionary, understanding that, my friend, this answer, as theologically sound as it may be, did nothing for the young Walter Wilson. He responded to him, asking again, "But what is the Holy Spirit to you personally?" He said, "What is the Holy Spirit to you personally?" Walter Wilson hung his head and sadly confessed to the missionary and himself, "He is nothing to me. I have no contact with him, no powerful relationship with him, and could get along very well without him." And conversation ended, my friend, with him being broken in his heart, and my friend walking away with that question pondering in his heart. What is, or may we say, who is the Holy Spirit to me personally? You see, it's got to be more than theological tonight. It's got to be more even than sound doctrine that we can say, amen, who the Spirit of God is. But what is He and who is He to you and I personally? This is what Paul is laying hold on, Brother Maurice, when he says, "I want all of you, I want every last member of the church at Corinth to be walking in the communion of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Who is the Holy Spirit to you personally? Do you ever hear His voice? Does He ever hear you speak to Him? Amen. Is there ever any, my friend, one-on-one fellowship? Does He have the reins to your life? Is He in control? Do you agree with Him? And more importantly, may I ask, does He agree with you? Amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Is your Christianity in partnership with Him? Amen. If it's not, it's not Christianity. Amen. Is your religion participating with Him? Amen. You and Him sharing in this Christian journey. Amen. Is He in common union with your spiritual life? And so we're preaching on the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've looked at, and I've got to hasten on. I'm giving you some new stuff we've skipped over, but amen, trying to cover some things tonight, but amen, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen, the word communion's used three times in your King James Bible, all three times by the Apostle Paul, and all three times given to the church in Corinth. Amen, it all comes to a pinnacle here when he says, amen, walk in or know something about the communion of the Holy Ghost. Now that's important. You go read tonight. Amen. Make it part of your extracurricular Bible reading this week. And read through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And note all the times that Paul pointed out the Holy Spirit to them. Amen. That's the church, Brother Jack. He said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. That's the church that, amen, Paul warned them about, amen, walking, my friend, in the Spirit of God and operating it and understanding that, amen, there was a day in their life they didn't know it. Amen. But since they've been converted, amen, the Spirit of God dwells in them and lives in them. And now he ends his letter saying, amen, there's more to it. And just being saved and possessing the Spirit, amen, now you've got to do something with that, amen, and know something about the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen, you see, my friend, there's a day in our life, amen, we didn't know the Holy Spirit. Amen, we didn't know who He was. We didn't know His voice. Amen, but when we was lost out there in sin and in the world, amen, it was He that came looking for us. Amen, it was Him that, my friend, heard our midnight cry. Amen, it was Him that came to, amen, the mud holes and the sin pits, amen, the hopeless situations we were in, and began, my friend, to promote the Savior in our life. Amen, began, my friend, to work through conviction and drawing and wooing, amen, and we got introduced to the Holy Spirit, amen, it was Him in that moment of salvation, amen, that did the regenerating new birth work, amen, that produced us in the family of God, amen, and oh, what a day that was, amen, what a power, what a presence, amen, what a move in and move out that was, amen, the devil moved out and the Holy Ghost moved in, amen, you say, preacher, you believe when somebody gets saved, and that's when the Holy Spirit comes on the inside. Amen. Well, if it didn't work that way, there'd be no salvation. Amen. We're not of those, Paul said, who walk after the flesh, unto walk after the Spirit. And Brother Larry, if a man says he has not the Spirit, amen, Paul said that man is none of his, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God to know the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been taught the wondrous doctrines of Him. Amen, and I'm thankful for that, but the question tonight is simply this, the question that was asked to Walter Wilson so many years ago, 100 years ago, my friend, but who is, what is the Holy Spirit to you personally? What is He to you personally? Said, preacher, is that an important question? All your spiritual victory, my friend, all that you'll ever be in this life for the cause of Christ absolutely and emphatically rests on how you can answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit to me personally? Amen. I'm preaching in a generation of folk that have made professions and quite likely are even saved, but they do not know what it is to live in that communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We looked at the connections in the communion of the Holy Ghost, verses 11 through 13.
It connects us to the preacher of God, keeps us right with the preacher. It connects us and keeps us right into the presence of God. And it connects us and keeps us right to the people of God. Amen. And so we, amen, emphasize that in these closing verses we looked at in our last service and message the correlations in the communion of the Holy Ghost. How that verse number 14 is easily a proof text for the Christian fundamental known as the doctrine of the Trinity. For here we have my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, He being the Son, and the love of God, that being the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. And so we see here in the cooperative work between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they work together in our life. Amen. They're not jealous one of the other. Amen. They, my friend, are working in tandem. They are working together. Amen. As much as we need the Son and we need the Heavenly Father, amen, we must understand the Spirit has been given to you and I and has been shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. And these three are one, and these three work together as one. Amen. And so we notice the redemptive correlation in this benediction. Amen. The love of God that designed the plan that sent the Son. The grace of Christ was extended and exemplified at the cross of Calvary as He gave His life for ours. And the result of these truths then is simply this. A relationship with God now is had by the Holy Ghost. Amen. The love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The thought is this, until one truly and personally has come to experience love and grace, they can have no communion of the Holy Ghost. Your life will never even have the possibility of, my friend, being lived in agreement and fellowship and partnership and participation and union on common terms with Him until you have been saved. Amen. You've got to, my friend, exercise repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus. Amen. You've got to know in their love and their grace. Amen. Until you've known that, amen, you cannot know the communion of the Holy Ghost. We said on the other week that, amen, we seem to be beating our head against the wall. Amen, with some folk trying to get them to do right. Amen, prop them up and set them on the right course. Amen, and they can't ever, my friend, walk in the communion of the Holy Ghost. They can't do right unless the preacher's on their shoulder. Amen, they can't do right unless you run around, my friend, shining a magnifying glass and a spotlight on their life. Amen, we're trying to get folk to live for God and to love Jesus. Amen, and walk in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen, that have never truly been born again. Amen. Here's what you got to realize. Amen. The flesh and the spirit, these are contrary the one to the other. Amen. They're contrary. The flesh and the spirit is contrary. Amen. I'm saved and they're contrary one to the other. Amen. And Paul said in Romans 8, amen, if you live after the flesh, you will die. Amen. That is enmity and that is carnality. Amen. But if you've ever been saved, and you have the Holy Spirit, what did Paul say? He said, we're not of those who walk after the flesh, but of those who walk after the Spirit. My friend, I'm convinced there's a lot of folk the reason, amen, they can't live as a Christian ought to live, amen, on a consistent basis, amen, no victory ever over sin. Amen. You got to know something about the communion of the Holy Ghost and you can't know about it. Amen. There'll be no correlation of that in your life until you know something about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that sets men free from sin and the love of God that inspires us, amen, to love Him enough to do right in this world. Amen, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen, and so what did we say? We said through communion. Amen, just pondering on this, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Acknowledges grace and love in our life. Amen. It acknowledges grace and love in our life. Amen. In that communion, He is daily and constantly, amen, reminding us we're nothing apart from God's love and Jesus' grace. Amen. Through communion of the Holy Ghost, we appreciate the grace and the love, amen, of God in our life. Amen. You see, in this communion, there is stirred within us a work of gratitude. Amen. For the love and the grace we have in redemption's plan. Amen. I like this verse. Let me give you this. I didn't give this to you, amen, the other week, but in Romans chapter number 5, and in verse number 5, these thoughts of, amen, communion of the Holy Ghost causes us to both acknowledge and appreciate love and grace. Amen. See if you see this in Romans 5, verse 5. And hope making not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. You see, the only reason I know something, amen, about the love and the grace of God is, amen, the Holy Ghost made all of that real to me. Amen. And He makes it real. He made it real when I got saved. He's been making it real since I've been saved. Amen. And He sheds all that love and that grace, amen, abroad in our heart and renews it day by day. Amen. And so that knocks the stuffing out of us. Amen. That knocks all the pride and arrogance out of our heart. That communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can't have the communion of the Holy Ghost and be riding around on your high horse.
Right. Right.
Amen. The Holy Ghost will knock you off of it. Amen. He'll put you back in the dirt and remind you, had it not been for the Son of God, had it not been for the Heavenly Father, had it not been for the Spirit's work in your life, making love and grace real, amen, you'd be in hell with your back broke. Amen, I'm telling you tonight, amen, communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, will produce acknowledgement and appreciation for grace and love. Thought about this, we preached it, but through communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, we apply grace and love. Amen, the correlation here of grace and love to the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen, listen, amen, when Paul speaks in the love of the Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, these are, amen, these are personal to you and I. Amen, in this communion, though, with the Holy Ghost, there is the application of love and grace extended from us to others. Amen. You walk in the communion of the Holy Ghost, He not only leads you to acknowledge and be appreciative, but then He leads you to be able, amen, to make application of that love and grace you've received back to others in their life. Amen. Amen. So He works in us when we don't want to apply it. Amen. When your flesh rises up, says, I ain't gonna. Amen. Communion of the Holy Ghost says, you better. Amen. And then in that regard, there is the matter that in the application, amen, if we'll really commune with Him, amen, if we'll really commune with Him, He leads us in applying love and grace to others without doing it in a watered down, cheap version of love and grace. Amen. Amen. You see, love and grace don't mean you overlook people's sin. Amen. That's no love and grace of the Lord Jesus and the Heavenly Father. Is that right? The communion of the Holy Ghost leads us to apply it, but to apply it in a way that is reflective of the love and the grace that is in our Savior and our Heavenly Father. Amen. I got another verse. You look at it later and see what. Well, let's look at it. I'm feeling a little better to preach right now. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at this here. Amen. I ain't even to the third point. I got to hurry up. Amen. I want to give you some of this. Look in verse number 22. Notice what Peter said. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How? Through the Spirit. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. In other words, love that is not wishy-washy. Love that is not up and down and hot and cold, but unfeigned love of the brethren. Amen. Notice what he said. Amen. Now we got to do this through the Spirit. He said, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Is that what it said? How do we do that? As I'll be honest, amen, people's crazy. I can say that because I are a people. We're all crazy. Amen. And sometimes we do crazy things and we say stupid things and we act ways we ought not act. Amen. But Peter said, amen, you have obeyed. Amen. You have obeyed. Amen. And the gospel has worked in your life. Amen. And it has had an effect through the Spirit. Amen. Listen, he said, you have been purified. Your soul has been purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit. And with that, it teaches you to love the brethren. Now see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. What does that mean? It means you're to apply that love and that grace, amen, not just when it's easy. Fervently means do it when it's hard.
Right. You're right.
Come on now, do it when it's hard. Do it when they're frustrating you. Do it when, amen, do it when you don't know anything else to do. Just, amen, set your love and your grace, amen, with a pure heart fervently upon one another. How do I do that? I can only do that through the Spirit, that is communion with Him, Him leading my life to make application of love and grace to Jesse. Jesse ain't easy to love. Why, look at him. Are y'all listening? Notice in that verse, I noted this, Brother Riley, there's no period in the end of verse 22. It goes on, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by it, by it, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. How many times have we heard verse 23 quoted? Amen. I quote it all the time. Amen. You use it in witnessing, but, amen, listen, it's not detached from the verse before. Amen. With the new birth, that being born of the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit is on the inside. Amen. I must, through the Spirit and communion with Him, amen, learn how to love the brethren with a pure heart fervently.
Amen.
And only through Him can you do that. You take communion of the Holy Ghost out of your life, you'll be choking each other. That's what Corinth was doing. Amen, that's what they were doing. That's all mad bullfrogged. Amen, I'm talking about in a bad way. Amen, and Paul is saying, amen, the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus and the communion of the Holy Ghost, let this be with you all. Walk with Him. Participate with Him and He will correlate these things in application to others' lives through you. Amen. Amen. Well, I gotta quit. Amen. I gotta hurry up so I can quit. Number three. The communion of the Holy Ghost. Notice with me quickly tonight the cautions in the communion of the Holy Ghost. The cautions. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at our verse again tonight. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost. The communion of the Holy Ghost. Think about it now. The idea, the very idea of communion, as we've defined it this evening and in every service, communion conveys a closeness and being in union of common and friendly terms with the Holy Ghost. It is me again where I'm not just in fellowship, but I'm in friendship with Him. Communion. Communion. And we think about this relationship. Amen. We think about this. And if we're not careful, we'll say, well, He's on the inside. And we'll begin to take it for granted. amen, that he's the earnest of our inheritance. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. He ain't going anywhere, and that is true. I'm thankful that when I got saved and he moved in, Brother Teal, amen, he moved in eternally. He's going to present me, amen, one day to the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's going to see us all safely home. Amen. If you've ever been saved and ever been born again, amen, thank God we are secured eternally by the everlasting, amen, grace and love, amen, of the Son and the Father that has been administered by the Spirit of God. Eternal security is a real thing. Amen. But if you're not careful as a child of God, that will develop something within your mind. And Paul dealt with this so many years ago in the days of the early church and his converts and disciples and church plants. Amen. He had to write so many times and tell them, amen, don't use grace as a license to sin. Amen. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Amen. Yes, you have the Holy Ghost. Amen. But it's not just that you have Him. You need communion with Him. And so be cautious, because even though He's not going anywhere, there are some things you can do to drastically damage your relationship with Him. This is why I say tonight, asking the question asked to Walter Wilson, but who is the Holy Spirit to you personally? Amen. Have you talked with Him today? Have you heard His voice today? Have you felt Him moving in your heart today? Has He stopped you from anything this last week? And my friend, has He led you in any way this week? Has He directed you? Has He empowered you? Have you known His peace? Have you known His joy? Have you known the holy path and righteousness, and He leads us in for His name's sake? Who He is and what is the Holy Ghost to you personally? What did you sit down to watch this week that was ungodly and wicked, and that, listen, no human being ought to be watching or listening to, much less a child of God? And the Holy Ghost say no.
Right.
When is the last time you heard Him say, no, we don't want to do this?
Right.
When is the last time you had plans made for a day and you had it all wrote down? And my friend, because of communion with the Holy Ghost, I'm not talking about, amen, that some of us flying by the seat of our britches anyway. Amen. I'm not talking about, my friend, not having a plan and not living a structured life. Amen. But when's the last time you had plans made? Amen. That you was in such communion with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost said, no, we don't want to do that today. Let's go talk to somebody about the Lord.
Amen.
When's the last time He said, no, we ain't going to spend time watching no TV the next hour. We need to go pray.
Right.
When's the last time He nudged your heart about somebody, some family member, some friend, your pastor, your church, and said, you know, they seem to really be struggling. Let's go steal away here a little while and get away, and let's talk to the Heavenly Father and pour out our heart and take them to the Lord. When is the last time you had that kind of communion with the Holy Ghost? Personally. Personally, personally, it's got to be personal to us, church. It's got to be personal to us. Amen. We can't afford to keep this emotional outlook on life. Amen. Where we just run by our emotions, but being controlled and being governed by that communion we can have with Him. Communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You gotta have it.
Right.
You gotta have it. I've gotta have it.
Yes,
Amen. Calvary Baptist Tabernacle has to have, amen, some men and women and young people of faith that know something about, amen, who the Holy Spirit is to you personally. Amen. We think about the Holy Ghost and how He oftentimes is treated. I'm mindful tonight of Acts 7 and verse number 51. Stephen's standing, he's been preaching that crowd of Jewish people and Pharisees and Sadducees, and that crowd is mad. Stephen there, my friend, looked at them. He's seen them, amen, getting more and more angry. The more he preached Christ, the more he told them, amen, about the Lord Jesus, the more upset they got. Brother Gerald, and he looked at him and he said, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, that's what your daddies did. And as your fathers were, so were ye. A resisting of the Holy Spirit. I believe tonight now, amen, I'm not so sure that a child of God, amen, can go in the realm of resisting the Spirit of God. Amen, that sinner's there that he's preaching to. And that's where we were right before we got saved. Amen, our life was being lived resisting the Holy Spirit. Amen, that's why we couldn't be converted. That's why, amen, we couldn't be saved. But when we quit resisting, amen, when we turned our life around it, amen, allowed the Spirit of the Lord to bring us to Christ, amen, and quit resisting His work in our life, we was able to get saved. And now we know something about communion. I won't say tonight a child of God can. Maybe I can't even dogmatically say they can't resist the Holy Ghost and this communion. There are some texts in the Word of God that give the child of God some cautions lest they personally mess up their relationship to the Spirit of God. Now I know it's simple and you know all the verses and you can already run to them, but let's look at them real quick and I'll be done. Amen. Buckle your seatbelt. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. You know verse number 30 well. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Crowd that he's just said in a couple chapters ago. Amen. You've been quickened. You've been made alive. The grace of God has brought you out. You've been saved by mercy. You've been seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now looks at them, and in chapter number 4 and in verse number 30, he gives a caution of them in their regard to their relationship to the communion of the Holy Ghost, and said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. Now he's writing to save people. He's writing, and he said, I know. Amen. He told them in chapter number 1 that you've received the earnest of the Spirit. Amen. He's the inheritance of the saints. And He's going to bring us all the way through. He said in chapter number 2, the Spirit quickened you and made you alive. Amen. He's going to talk about Him in chapter number 3. Hey, my friend comes now to chapter number 4. And my friend, he looks in that crowd and says, be careful. Be careful. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Just because He's in you until the day of redemption does not mean that you're going to always and just every day live any old way you want to live and have communion with Him. The warning is don't grieve this communion. The word grief simply means, listen now, to distress or to sadden. Don't make the Holy Ghost sad. I'm wondering tonight how many times the Spirit of God who's in us longs to have fellowship and communion and agreement with our life. Rather than being satisfied, He is made sad. I'm not talking about making your mom and daddy cry because you did something you shouldn't have done. It's bigger than that. I'm not talking about making your children cry because you acted a fool. It's bigger than that. I'm not talking about making the preacher sad or the church sad or your friends sad. I'm talking about if you're saved, a very dearest friend you have, the most cherished possession and relationship that we have. Paul said, don't reach a place in your life or you just take it for granted that he's going to always be there. Yes, he's going to always be there. But you need more than that. You need communion. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How does this happen? I think in context, Brother Larry, we find that he goes on in verse 31 and says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Can I put it this way? What grieves this communion oftentimes and in the context are the sins that are within. They're the things you can hide for a little while. They're the things that you can say, no, I'm not bitter. They're the things that, my friend, you can say, no, I'm not angry. I'm not full of wrath. I've got no malice, but the Holy Spirit knows better than we. He knows when it's there. He knows when we're not being kind one to another. He knows when our tender heart has been turned callous and hard in our relationships one to another. He knows where there is unforgiveness. Every day we possess those qualities and are absent of the good qualities He wants us to be portraying, we grieve them. We make him sad. Amen. You just don't know how it is, preacher. I probably know more than you realize. Amen. Don't distress him. So, preacher, it hurt really bad. Somebody hurt me. Somebody said something. Somebody, is it really worth losing the communion of the Holy Ghost? Is it really worth saddening him and distressing him in your heart and your life to the point you cannot be led and walk in agreement with him? Amen. Well, y'all are quiet. Zane's talking back there. Amen. Don't grieve this communion. All right, y'all didn't like that one. You ain't gonna like this one. 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm almost done. 1 Thessalonians 5, notice with me in verse number 14. Not 14, that was this morning. Notice with me in verse 19. Four words, one sentence. Paul said, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. He said prior to this verse, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. One of the workings in the Spirit of God in our life in this communion is He leads us in our worship. Jesus said to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, that the Father, amen, is seeking for worshipers, not just those that are going through the motions, not just those, amen, that are going through traditional exercises of religious activity and worship activity, but those that know something about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Thanking God, praising God, amen, adoring Him. This is the will of God. Then He says, quench not the Spirit. The word quench means to extinguish a light or a fire. The Holy Spirit longs, my friend, to lighten our life. He longs to send a fire to burn within our bones, to serve the Lord and to worship the Lord and to be on fire for God. Amen. But Paul said this one that you need communion with, to walk with, to participate with. Amen. Beware and be cautious that communion can be interrupted when you quench, when you dampen, when you extinguish, when you put out the light or the fire. The word quench means to dampen, hinder, repress, to repress the exertion. Listen to this, to repress the exertion of full influence. It's like throwing a wet blanket on a fire. Amen. The Spirit of God wants to ignite us and set us ablaze for the cause of Christ. Amen. If you and I are not careful, as He's working in our life, He's leading us, my friend, in our worship, leading us in truth, leading us in our Christian journey, leading us in the paths that He would have us go down. Amen. Don't become a wet blanket to the Holy Ghost. Paul said, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. What is the Spirit of the Lord leading us in? He's leading us in the will of God. When we smother that, when we extinguish that light or that fire, we're repressing the exertion of His full influence in our life. Amen. When's the last time you had the joy bells of heaven going off in your soul? When's the last time it got so sweet on the inside of you, you had honey from heaven filling you? From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, the Holy Ghost was putting a fire in you. Well, Gerald, maybe that's been a long time for some of us. Could it be we've been quenching Him? Amen. Amen. We blame everybody else for our lack of fire. Amen. Ain't nobody, listen, if the fire's gone out, it ain't nobody's fault but our own. Don't quench, don't grieve this communion. Can y'all handle one more? Don't insult this communion. The book of Hebrews, and this is one of the strongest texts, Hebrews chapter 10. You know this, we preached on it before. But Hebrews 10, verse number 29, of how much he's dealing, kind of jumping in a weird place here, but verse 26, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Talks about a fearful looking for of the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Boy, that's pretty heavy back then. What Brother Tim's been teaching on them laws. Buddy, I'm telling you, God didn't leave no wiggle room under that old law. There were certain things God said, here's the crime and here's the punishment for it, and there's no way out of it. And that's what Paul is saying here, that under the law in the days of Moses, when men disobeyed God, he said they died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Everybody look here. This is where everybody says, well, thank God we're not living back then. And I'll be honest, I thank God I'm not living back then. But that don't mean it's easier now. You better look up in here. That don't mean it's easier now. Look what Paul said. Amen. Paul said, oh, Lord, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, I thank God I'm in the age of grace, Brother Tim, but according to that verse, it ain't easier It's not to be taken more, less. It's not to be taken with a flippant attitude now just because the law of Moses is not necessarily in effect on us to that degree like it was. No, Paul said it's even more serious now. You've been given so much mercy and so much grace from God. And really what Paul is saying is, how dare you? You get mad at me, you won't be the first one to get mad at me. Paul is saying, how dare you?
Amen.
You've been saved. You've been taught the right way. You've been instructed. How dare one of us, amen, suppose that it wouldn't be as hard on us as it was on them? Paul said, you're even worthy of more punishment than they gave. Is that right? Oh, I know it's right. And I know it ain't popular in this day. Amen. I just felt gunpowder get thrown down in my belly. Oh, grace, grace, grace. Amen. You know what Paul said? Paul said, if you know anything about grace, it'd do something to the way you think about willful sin.
That's right. That's right.
If you knew anything about grace, you wouldn't be running around, grace, grace, grace.
Amen.
It would motivate your life to understand, don't want to be guilty. I don't want to be guilty of willful sin and knowing that I'm getting ready to do something that I shouldn't do. I don't want to use grace as the bridge that gets me into something I shouldn't be involved in, because Paul said every time we do that, it's as though we have taken the blood that washed us and devalue it as though it were an unclean thing.
Right.
So what does that mean, preacher? That, and I'm preaching now, Brother Jeremy, I'm preaching now. I'm telling you, I just swallowed 50 gallons of gunpowder and it's about to go off. When he says you count the blood wherewith you're sanctified an unclean thing, listen now, you go home, you look it up. That literally means you count it just to be a common thing. Sin becomes common because you got the blood, amen, to run to. And thank God it does cleanse us. Thank God it has washed us. But we ought not ever develop a mentality that says, I know I'm doing wrong, but I'm going to do wrong anyway, because the blood is there to wash it all away. That's what he's talking about, willful sin. Hey man, when you willfully sin, you have reached a point where you're devaluing the blood that sanctified you.
Right, right.
Then here's what he said. He said, in doing that, you have done despite the spirit of grace. Word despite literally means, Sister Candy, literally means to insult. When we willfully sin, bringing the blood of Christ as a common thing, it insults the spirit of grace.
Amen.
You can talk about all your grace and love and all your mercy all you want. Amen. There's a bunch of folk in this generation, and my friend, they're not falling to sin. They are willfully sinning. They
right.
willfully do the things they know they ought not do.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I ain't trying to be cranky. I ain't trying to be. I'm not saying I'm not being. I'm just not trying to be. I'm telling you what they're doing is, Julie, you better get a hold of this. What they're doing is they're bringing the blood, that righteous, holy cleansing agent, bringing it down, looking at it as though it's an unholy thing. The Spirit of God goes, what are you doing?
Right. Amen.
What are you thinking?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
Make you think this week,
before you sit down and get in something you shouldn't be getting into.
Right.
Make you pause and think when you get in a conversation that's about to turn into something it ought not be.
Yes, sir.
Make you think tonight. Amen, before you involve yourself in things that, amen, and I know this generation, well, it's just a sin that easily besets me, but my friend, listen, there is communion of the Holy Ghost, amen, that takes us beyond that, takes us beyond that. Amen, you say, preacher, you're the preacher, you don't know how it is. Listen, I got flesh and blood and an Adamic nature just like you. Amen. This week, I'll just be transparent. This week, I had some things I ain't struggled with in a long time. And I was just out of nowhere. I got troubled about some things. And you know what happened? The Holy Ghost said, boy, I saved you from that. I've give you victory over that. Why in the world would you go do that? You know you'd do wrong.
Amen.
You know you'd be doing wrong.
Yes. Right.
So what you do? You say, yes, sir, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yes, sir, Holy Spirit. You got my attention. Why? Because I don't want to insult Him.
Amen.
Amen. So, preacher, that's a lot different in this lovey-dovey age that we're in that we hear everywhere else. I know it is. And I'm not telling you tonight, I bless the name of the Lord for His love and His grace. Were it not for His mercies being new every morning, I would not be here today. But that mercy and that grace and that love through the communion of the Holy Ghost teaches us, don't insult me. Don't insult me. See, because when we will, I'm closing, but when we willfully sin, you know really what we're doing? We're saying, I'm going to do this and the Holy Ghost ain't going to know about it. Mama ain't going to know. Daddy ain't going to know. Preacher ain't going to find out. And what we're doing, we're fooling ourselves and think we're fooling everybody else and God too.
Right.
Ain't it insulting when somebody's trying to convince you about something and you know what they're trying to tell you is not so? That's insulting. And we do it to the Holy Ghost all the time. Walter Wilson was asked the question by the missionary, but who is He to you personally? Remember what He said? He said, He is nothing to me. Basically, Jeremy, what He was testifying in the record and the account that I give to you, basically what He was saying is, I have learned to live my life. I've learned to preach. I've learned to do medicine. I've learned to operate without any dependence on Him. You know what He had? You know what He had? You know what He had in testifying of that? You know what He had? All He had was the flesh.
Right.
Walter Wilson testified, it wasn't long after that conversation that he was getting ready to go to a conference and his nurse or assistant had loaded some things in his bag and had somehow come across the pamphlet and a track or pamphlet or something, just slid it in there. And that pamphlet was in regard to some doctrinal issues. It pointed out that while Jesus had a body, the Holy Spirit had none. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a body. And in that tract and in that pamphlet, as he read it, it began to compel Christians to understand Christians are His body. He dwells within them. He touches no one except through us. And it began to settle in upon Dr. Walter Wilson's mind and heart, and he believed and he prayed and he asked the Holy Spirit to take charge of each and every part of his body. He tells the story that on the very next morning, He felt the Lord and sensed the Lord urging him to tell a sinner about Christ. And following that leading and operating and working with the Holy Spirit in that simple prayer, have control of every part of my life. He sat down with that drugstore attendant and led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. That man, from that day, his life was absolutely changed. Walter Wilson, Brother Tim, went on to start a church. Out of that church, he went on to start a Bible college. And out of that Bible college, the Lord used him. He was never even an ordained minister. Never had any formal preaching education. But he had communion of the Holy Ghost. Started a church. Started a Bible college. Sent men out of the Bible college. It's planted other churches. And did a mighty work for God. How do we do that? Communion of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Amen. Y'all don't hate me, do you? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Come on, Sister Candy. I know it's late. Boy, I preach an hour and 5 minutes. I know it's late. Might need to respond. Might need to spend a minute in prayer before we leave. She's going to play. If nobody comes, we're not going to tarry long. It's fine if you don't. It's fine if you don't. I'm going to pray you do whatever you need to do.